Welcome to the Beauty Talk podcast, where we feature how the best medical practitioners help their patients to look better, younger, and healthier. Now, enjoy the show, and here's your host.
Daniel Gao here. I'm the host of Beauty Talk, where we feature the top medical practitioners in health and beauty, both inside and out. I have Tara Delakai, a distinguished doctor of nursing practice, an advanced family nurse practitioner. As a published author and a respected key opinion leader for Candela Medical, Tara brings unparalleled expertise to the field. Her role as a national Allergan trainer further underscores her deep knowledge and commitment to excellence. Beyond these impressive credentials, Tara is the visionary founder and owner of Delakai Cosmetic Medicine, Delakai Concierge Medicine, DCCM Academy, and TDC Realty. Her multifaceted career reflects not only her dedication to advancing medical aesthetics, but also her entrepreneurial spirit and leadership in healthcare and education. Tara, welcome on the show and glad to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here as well.
So tell me, Tara, how did you first get interested in aesthetics?
So I really believe that my aesthetic career was implicitly embedded throughout my entire childhood. My mom was a cosmetologist and she had her own hair salon, and I grew up like right under her hair salon desk and, you know, sweeping floors, washing hair, and just listening to the conversations and watching her transform women both emotionally and physically with their hair. She would take me to hair shows in New York and, you know, take us all over. So I think it was so much a part of my childhood. And then I ended up going to nursing school, and I did that, and I loved ER nursing, I loved trauma. And then there was something still missing, and it was the perfect blend to blend medicine with beauty. And that's when I decided, you know what, I'm done with traditional medicine and I'm going to go all in. And I started about 13 years ago, and really the industry was only about 7 years old. So it was a baby industry. And I just literally three kids and tossed in the hat and said, the heck with ER medicine, I'm going to take a leap of faith. And it's been really neat to have started out in the infancy of this industry and grow my career within the industry that's also a baby. So it's like we grew up together.
Got it. Now, in the introduction, I talked about a lot of businesses that you have, but I want to focus really on the training business. So Can you talk about how you started the training business?
Sure. So the training business, I think my whole life, I really do like teaching. I find that I end up learning more when I teach. So I think that value add makes me a better provider. When I was dancing in the Nutcracker, I was also teaching ballet. When I was a nurse in the hospital, I also taught in the academic world. So I was teaching nurses from Northern Essex and University of all over. And I loved the teaching aspect. So as I got into the aesthetic medicine, I realized that when I took my first course, it was, you know, it was great for what it was, but there were so many things that it wasn't. And I realized, you know, they hand you the certificate and they say, great, go own your own business now. You're fine. Go open it up, practice on family and friends. And I was like, I just injected saline into a patient's face. I don't know what they're going to look like in the end. So I realized really quickly on that the education that I got was not enough. I didn't know what I was missing, but I knew that there was core pieces from the curriculum that were missing. So that was sort of my first launch. And then I traveled the world, you know, just seeking out any opportunity that I could to learn better than what I had started out as. Mm-hmm. Then, so I struggled to get the education that I needed. And then when I started seeing patients, I recognized some of my own imperfections and what I was missing for academics. And then I was seeing, as the industry grew, more and more patients coming in, and their results were maybe botched, or maybe not even botched, but less than perfect. And I knew there was greater opportunity. And that got me thinking, I believe that there's a failure in the standardized curriculum within aesthetic medicine. And that's why people are just bouncing from practice to practice to practice, because they're still searching a good result. They're happy that they tried it, but they still understand that there was something better as well. And so that's what got me thinking, okay, I didn't have a great experience. Now I'm seeing patients from other practices not get the best results that they could. And I realized it was a system failure, and the system was there isn't a standardized academic program to get into aesthetic medicine, and it's not something that's taught in traditional uni settings. So it really was an opportunity to kind of carve out my own little space in the industry. So I created the academy, and then I immediately recognized, how do I give value back to the nurses and to the physicians that are coming? And that was getting nationally accredited with the Boards of Medicine and the Board of Nursing.
Wow, that's an incredible story. Now, I love the part where you talk about kind of your experience, and this is kind of what I hear a lot of people talk about, like when they were first starting off their practices, they didn't have very extensive training. So it's like they kind of had to figure out on their own and go through all the failures. So could you talk a little bit more about what exactly your training provides?
So I would say the difference between my training and some of the others is certainly duration. It is much longer. A lot of the courses will combine, you know, multimodality, whether it's Botox and fillers, and they'll put it in like a 6-hour course. And I don't really feel that that's enough for people to develop, not even entry level, like competency, let alone any type of proficiency to go ahead and treat. So we do each individual section, whether it's neurotoxin or filler or laser or the science of aging, each one of our courses is 10 hours and they come with 10 accredited units for learning. So that goes to the Board of Medicine and the Board of Nursing. We do have a comprehensive manual, as well as we give the students their policy and procedure, their standard operating procedures, their consent, their before and after, as well as their medical intake. So they're really getting a full breadth. They also, we have included with our products, so they'll have the Botox or the filler, whatever they need to actually treat. And then, so the first part of the day is all didactic, where we're just really learning anatomy and the product and patient consultation. And then the second half of the day is all live hands-on. So they'll see me inject, as well as they'll have the opportunity to inject. And then everybody else in the room, they'll all watch each other inject as well. So it's guaranteed models, guaranteed product. And then at the end of the day, I think, which is really the piece that makes us perhaps stand apart, is it's not enough to just take these courses. We need some sort of mentorship. We need to develop that relationship. We need people that have our back and have a history in the industry. So we do a 2 to 3 month mentorship, which is all part of that program cost. So they take the course and they're not done with us. It's not set it and forget it, thanks for the money. It really is like we start relationship building with them right away. So I think that's the difference, is I'm there throughout their career. I'm not just there for their 10-hour training. And I do really, when they reach out to me, I will respond.
Got it. Now, while we're on this topic of what differentiates your training from other trainings, this concept that you kind of brought to my attention, regulating the unregulated, I think is a really fascinating concept. And I think that kind of ties into what you were saying before, is there's really no like good extensive training out there. So you had to create your own. But could you talk a little bit more about that concept of you regulating the unregulated?
Right. So, you know, because this isn't a regulated industry, it doesn't have its own registration like ear, nose, and throat. It's has its own board certification. There's certifications to become a trauma certified nurse. There's a certification to become a facial plastic surgery, but there really isn't a registration or a regulation for cosmetic medicine, whereas it's sort of the Botox and the fillers and the laser world. You know, it's part, they're regulated by cosmetology, part regulated by pharmacy. So we kind of fall under all of the branches, but I do feel that if there was this own separate registration with these minimally invasive aesthetic procedures, it might just set a different standard for patient safety and for the education. So I went back to the basics and I realized, what is the difference between a regular program and a program that is accredited with the Board of Nursing and the Board of Medicine? And it's really creating standard script of what we need to gather, like what is the knowledge gap? What are we missing? And then how do we deliver that effectively and efficiently? And then rather than tossing out these certificates and just giving people like, here you go, thanks for the check, here's your certificate, I've created a certificate of competency. So our students actually will take a test. I want to see that they've grown from before they started to after. And then that helps me measure their success and measure the success of my course, because just to have a course doesn't necessarily mean it's successful. But if they're learning the key elements that will help drive improved patient care, good outcomes, then that is measurable and successful. So I really do follow quite strict around the accreditation standards, and that really creates a nice script and guide for good quality education.
Got it. Now, I'm curious about how you can answer this next question, because when you're doing this training, there's certain protocols that you have to follow. You really can't deviate from these, or that's what people think about. But what would you say, what role does creativity play when you're training people on not only how to do the procedures, but even just with their business, with their new business?
Mm-hmm. So I think that's interesting. And this so is business and medicine and art, mm-hmm. And that creative piece, I always tell people, because everybody gets worried about there's so many businesses popping up and there's so much competition. But when you look at the market that is interested in injectables but hasn't actually taken, it's millions upon millions of patients that are interested but haven't yet tapped. So I think from a competitive standpoint, I don't think we have to worry. I think there's more than enough to go around. And the creative piece comes in if we can move away from, well, I do it this way and this is the only right way. If we create a standard of this is the safest way to go about it, this is the way to reproduce the most reliable results in a safe manner, the creativity comes in your personality. The creativity comes in your brand and how you market and how you create synergy between a Botox and a filler and a laser. So that creativity piece comes in through your eyes. What is your aesthetic eye? How are you consuming one's aging process or what their goals are, and creating the creative plan? But the delivery of each treatment is where I want to see some standards and regulation.
Got it. Now, when it comes to the training, who is really the training for? Like maybe talking about maybe their accreditations that they have or the situations that they're in, like who's your ideal student for your training program?
So the ideal student is, anybody that is a licensed healthcare professional. And there is some variance between state to state to state. So some states, LPNs can, a licensed practical nurse. Other states, nurses can't even inject. So the states vary. In my state, in New Hampshire, the minimum requirement is a licensed practical nurse and registered nurse, APRN, MD. So any one of those licensed healthcare practitioners can inject. But there's a couple states where estheticians are able to inject, and even non-licensed estheticians can inject, which I think that's a little scary because it is a prescriptive medicine. Mm. So we're kind of giving prescriptive authority to students that have not yet gone through that process. Mm-hmm. So really, a licensed healthcare practitioner can take the course. I see a big movement, and there's people that are saying they're going to nursing school only to do aesthetic medicine. I would like to hit pause on that. I would encourage, if you're going to school to become a nurse just to do this, I do think you need to learn how to walk first in a couple of years in a hospital institution type setting where you're really learning about the human body and learning about caring and learning about medicines and the response time. I think that has a lot of value before you go into this very special niche piece of medicine, because as much as we might be in this little niche, we're still impacting the patient's whole entire world. Financially, emotionally, physically. And then we'll need to use our differential diagnoses to figure out, is this an adverse reaction because of what I've done? Or is this a coincidence? Or did this elicit something? So I think there's a lot more to it than people think. A lot of people think that it's just like going to the nail salon, be like, I want number 39 off the wall in acrylic. Yeah. And that's not it. It is so much more than that. So it's not like we can just go pick the face off the wall. Yeah. It is more medical.
Got it. Now, for the students that come to you, are these going to be people that are kind of brand new, getting into the industry and want to have their own practice? Or do you also get people that have their own practice, but really want to expand more on their knowledge?
So we cater to all of the spectrum. We have a really comprehensive aesthetic immersion program for our newer, you know, they've never done the injectables, but they are licensed. So that gateway is really there for them to get them successful and launched. And then we also have business model programs in order to help the injectors that are already there that maybe want to take the leap and open up their own business. We can help guide them through really soup to nuts, step by step. And it's super comprehensive, like right down to all the paperwork that they'll need for compliance. And then we also will do advanced trainings. And then we do specialize in private trainings as well for students that have taken the big group classes, but now they just need that intimate one-on-one learning where they're not in a group setting. It's just really me and them and the patient, and we can learn face by face and have all the varieties of faces.
Got it. Now, could you talk a little bit more about some of the fads that may have been popping up recently? I'm sure that as a practice owner, you've experienced this, but also for your students who maybe have seen these fads, like, oh, I really want to do this. But I'm sure there's also a dark side to that as well. So could you talk a little bit about kind of the fads that have popped up and kind of how you address that with your students?
And I do have quite a soapbox on the fads and, you know, realizing that things will come and go, and it's hard to know what will come and go until you've had some of the experience and you see what works. And then the more you understand medically what you're impacting with the products that you have, it's hard to understand what's a fad, what's not a fad. So what I like to tell my students is, you know, don't follow Instagram to realize like what is the next thing that I'm going to do or that I'm going to invest in to learn, because this is expensive to gather your education. It's but if you're spending your money on the wrong thing, you're wasting your money. So what I recommend is I'll tell them to go to like a plastic surgery association and look at the statistics nationally as well as globally. Like, what are your top five treatments? What is nationally and globally? What are people asking for? Because those numbers, you know, numbers can't lie, but Instagram is an algorithm that can force and feed you in a certain direction. So I really like to just go through like last year, this was the top five. That's the type of data that I want to turn my students on to. You know, we want peer-reviewed data. Instagram is not peer-reviewed. So we don't want, that's not good data. So really following the statistics from a plastic surgery or an aesthetic association, I think that's their launching point to look at what is the next best thing. And then when we're looking at there, you know, just because an influencer has the treatment, doesn't necessarily mean that that's the right treatment for your practice. I think it's really important for practice owners and practitioners to look at their community. You know, who are you serving? And learn about that population, learn about that demographic, learn the anatomy of those unique demographics that you'll be treating, because there's specialty in so much of what we do. Male, female, transgender, ethnicities will change the even just the demographics of what you do. So I really think there's a lot of different options that question can go.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Well, thank you for sharing that. Now, next thing I want to ask you is, could you tell me maybe one really good success story that one of your students has had going through your training program?
The ones that listen. No, I'm kidding. I really think that the ones that are willing to invest in themselves educationally, those are the ones that really do the best. Mm-hmm. I think the ones that have the wrong mindset, or maybe they're not willing to change their mindset as they get into the industry and realize they do need so much more education. Mm-hmm. I do believe there's an opportunity where people come in and they think they're going to take their one course like I did all those years ago and think I'm going to be, this is done after I take my course. Those that are able to roll with it and realize, oh wait, there's a lot more to this than that one certificate course. Mm-hmm. So when you invest in yourself and your education, I feel those people are the ones that are successful. I actually have quite a few success stories from even my first course that I ever taught. There was 12 students and 7 of them really followed my script and my program, and they're all still in business today.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
And I feel like that's successful because, you know, everybody can do it, but who can succeed in it is, you know, a challenge. And they all invested in themselves educationally, and they took it slow. They didn't just jump into the deep end and buy every laser that was out there and buy in and subscribe to all of the noise that's out there. They really took their time to investigate what felt good to them, like with their own moral aesthetic compass, and how are they going to deliver those results.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I want to switch tracks a little bit and talk more about your cosmetic medicine practice. Could you talk a little bit more about that practice, like how long you've had it for, like what you do in there, who do you serve?
Yeah. So I have been in business for 13 years, and it has been, it's amazing. I don't look back and I miss the ER because it's the ER. It's crazy. I love it. But I love the patients that I serve. And when I first got into this industry, I really did. I was that person thinking, no weekends, no holidays. This is just going to be great. I'm going to have tons of money. I'm not going to have to worry. And then I quickly realized, like, wow, I actually need to invest a ton into my education. You know, and I went from years of experience in the ER and being top of that particular area with my education. And then I was right down to the bottom. It was like, you know, so I really had a big learning curve ahead of me, and I did have to humble myself. And my Allergan rep was actually really pivotal in helping me be like, I'm sorry, but if you're not going to invest in yourself, she's like, I can invest in you and support you as a rep. And it was honestly the best advice I had, because it was her telling me that course was not enough. You do need more. She really kind of dragged me along. And as I got into the aesthetic industry, I thought, this is great. I'm doing Botox and I'm doing fillers, and then now I'm learning lasers, and it was all well and good. And then I had this one patient, and she came in. I was probably like a year and a half in, so fairly green still. And she came in, and I remember she was not in like the most well-dressed. She was just sort of like in her comfy clothes. You know, hair maybe in a messy bun, and talking about her life. And, you know, I might be getting divorced. I'm going through this with my job, just a lot of like personal things. And I created a plan, and she was like, I don't know if I should take that on financially. That's like a bit much right now with all of the other emotional things that she had going on. And we spent probably about 40 minutes talking personally about what was going on with her emotionally. And then she was like, oh, and she went, let's do it. And I was like, all right, let's do it. So we did her entire treatment plan, and she could not stop looking at the mirror. Like even at checkout, I put a little mirror at checkout so they can see before they leave. And she's like, I love it. I'm so glad I did this. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this. I don't know if I should have done this. Was this the right decision? And so she kind of yo-yoed.
Yeah.
So the next day she came back. I have a full practice of patients. I have them in the waiting room. The couches are all full. She whips in pencil skirt, leopard silk shirt, stilettos, hair on point. And she said, look at what you just did. She said, I quit my job and I'm going to go for a job right now. And I'm going to get that job. And I'm going to come back at noontime and let you know how my interview went. She said, toodles. And off she went, and she came back at noon and said she got the job. And it was at that moment I realized in aesthetic medicine, I wasn't just giving Botox and filler. I literally, the syringe was almost putting back the soul in the reflection and putting those two pieces together. Because it was like there was this disparity between people emotionally and physically and what they were seeing. She changed everything about my practice. And I think it was a good humbling moment for me, because it made me realize this isn't your weekends off in great medicine. We're impacting people on such a powerful emotional level with what we do. And that refueled me. And so every day, it's not just about the treatment. It's really about the personal relationship that we're creating.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's one thing that I think a lot of people have that misconception about when it comes to the aesthetic world. They're thinking, oh, it's just about vanity, it's just about looks, and that's it. They don't think about really the emotional impact behind it. And really, like when I interview great medical practitioners like yourself and I ask them about their success stories, a lot of times they talk about how someone came in and because of this treatment, it turned their life around. Like it gave them their confidence back. It changed their lives. And I think that's the part that a lot of people miss from the aesthetic world, like when they view the aesthetic world. They're not realizing just how much of an emotional impact what you do has on people. Now, with that being said, I'm sure that I kind of want to switch tracks here, is I'm sure being a practice owner, people are talking about a lot of competition, but not only from other practices open up, but also from black market products coming on there that say that they're one thing, but the quality is just not there. So could you talk a little bit more about how you deal with that, or kind of what you're seeing in the marketplace with this rise in black market products?
Yeah, and it's scary because, you know, consumers don't know. You know, so they'll go to the person and be like, well, why am I going to pay $15 per unit for Botox when I can just pay $7? Mm-hmm. Because $15, you'll get Botox. For $7, you're probably going to get fox urine.
Yeah.
You know, I actually ordered a bottle of Botox just off of Google for $3.49.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you, it looks exactly like it. Mm-hmm. And it tells you how to inject it. So it's being sold, but you know it's not really the active neurotoxin in there. It's just a scam. But these do-it-yourselfers are buying this and showing up with the fake bottle, and then they're doing at-home parties. Mm-hmm. And it really is, that's where I feel like, how do we regulate the unregulated? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to take business opportunity away from people, but at some point, consumers are going to become hurt and maimed from the unregulated Wild West portion because they don't know what they don't know. They think it's all the same. They see the white lab coat and they equate us all to the same, whereas the experience and the educational level is quite different. So I think that the industry as a whole will come under a lot of scrutiny with some of the fraudulent activity and the black market. And the more people that get hurt and the more people that make claim will just come under scrutiny. So it almost makes sense to just regulate it now before the patients become seriously maimed and then the industry is under a ton of scrutiny.
Got it. Now, where do you think the future of aesthetics is going, both from a regulatory standpoint and also just in general where aesthetics is going to go?
I think aesthetics is really going to become a huge part of medicine. I don't necessarily know if it'll ever become insurance-based profit model. I feel like the majority of patients are actually moving away from insurance-based and doing more of the concierge because they can actually get the care that they need instead of this little scripted checkbox. Mm-hmm. You know, the care is individualized. I really feel that the market is going to continue to show exponential growth. I think we'll have some waves. I feel like right now we're in a little bit of a decrease in consumer confidence as a whole. People just aren't comfortable buying as much or spending as much. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just because the economic climate is a little tumultuous and people are insecure, you know, with whatever their reasoning is. So I think there might be a little bit of a lull, but I feel that the market is going to, I think your Botox and your Dysport, your neurotoxin, that's going to kind of stay the same. I feel like that's your powerhouse. It's the necessary, but I think a lot of the other things that we do, I believe more natural things will rise up. You know, platelet-rich plasma, that had its sort of weak spot and then it had its high points. Things like platelet-rich plasma and resurfacing lasers, I really think people are looking for natural ways to prevent and protect. In the industry as a whole, the age group is actually moving younger. We're seeing more and more younger patients because they have a little bit more money and they're willing to invest in the prevention and the protection. Whereas the older group may have been, you know, the girls with the lemon in their hair and the tinfoil under their face. So they're more of a project to pull off the cliff to do some real intense work. So they kind of need all of the layers fixed. But I think it's going to turn more towards the laser resurfacing and prevention.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I have one last question for you, but before I ask it, I want to point people to your website at www.dccmacademy.com. and also your medical practice, www.surfacemedicalaesthetics.com. Now, last question is, what would you say is the most important piece of advice you can give to a provider who knows that they need some type of ongoing training, but isn't sure which program to go through or invest in?
Mm-hmm. I feel that if they've already taken their initial courses and, you know, they have that underneath them, because there is a little caveat in the insurance binder when you get it, and it does say that you need additional training in neurotoxin, in filler and lasers. So you do want to make sure that you have your initial certification under you. And then beyond that, when you need that additional support, having a mentor or a fellowship or a residency program, I think, is the most successful. Or just aligning yourself. Do you have a peer that's already in the industry that is willing to take your call? Because this is nuanced and there are really interesting things that come up. And if you're not really comfortable in your medical diagnostics, then it might be challenging for you to decipher, is that what I did, is that something else going on? So truly having a partner of some sort, not necessarily in business, but just a true mentorship, fellowship, residency, I think that's super valuable so that you have that resource on call. And that was one of the things I felt like fell off. And, you know, nurses, we have our clinical practicums, and that's, you know, almost a year and a half of our program is we're doing the practical. Surgeons have residencies. Primary medical doctors have residencies. So we created a residency program. So students will come for 6 months and work within the practice to get that experience with me. They're my right-hand person, observing, seeing, listening to the consult, watching how I consume each face, dealing with the challenges or the aftercare. I think that the best thing that they can do is really get into a program like that and making sure that they have ongoing support.
Got it. Well, there you have it, Tara sharing her expertise. Now, Tara, where can people contact you and your company?
So the best way to go about it is to email us. And the best email is info@dccmacademy.com. And Haley, my director of academy operations, will get right back to you. She is a gem and understands the academy and has the same level of passion and love for training and nurturing the next generation of aesthetic providers. And she'll reach out to you, and she does a great job of figuring out where you are on the scale of knowledge and really plugs you in appropriately to what is going to work best for you.
Great. Well, thanks for being on the show and sharing your message.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for listening to the Beauty Talk podcast. Any questions, please contact the practice directly with the contact information provided during the show. We'll see you again next time. Bye for now.